Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here once again to stand in a position where great men stand and have stood in time past to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles, could you please turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse number 24. Matthew chapter 7. Verse number 24. And it reads, "Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which builds his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which builds his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Now, did you know that Jesus wanted you to be a construction worker? No matter who you are in this world, either you're building on the rock or you're building on the sand. So you are a spiritual construction worker. Now, some people frown upon being a, I don't want to be labeled a construction worker, some people say. You know, some people are too good to be a construction worker, but when it comes to spiritual matters, you're a construction worker. I'm sorry to tell you. You know, my background is in construction. I tell people I'm a pipe fitter. My wife says, "Well, he's a plumber. Don't listen to him." I said, "Baby, I take a pipe, I take another pipe, I fit it together. I'm a pipe fitter. He's a plumber." I'm like, "All right. I'm not ashamed." Look, Jesus was a construction worker. Wasn't Jesus a construction worker? He was a carpenter. Paul was a construction worker. He was a tent maker. So today we're going to build. The title of this lesson is Under Construction. For those just coming in, we're in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 24. Jesus said, "Build your house on a rock." Now, before we can get to building, we got to have a safety meeting. Because in the construction world, safety is first. So let us huddle up and have a safety meeting, because there's some things you need to know before you can build. First off, you got to have your proper PPE. I'm pretty sure y'all know what that means. A lot of people in here do construction work. That is your personal protective equipment. Now, this equipment is things you put on so that the work that you participate in, none of the things hurt you. For instance, in the construction world, number one, you need a hard hat. There are a lot of pipes and a lot of sheet metal and things floating around. You need a hard hat to protect you, because it's not safe. Something can fall on your head. You could get paralyzed. You need a hard hat. Now, according to Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 17, the scripture said, "Take upon yourself the hard hat, the helmet of salvation." How are you going to build anything without your hard hat? It's not safe. How are you going to build your family up without a helmet of salvation? How are you going to build your marriage up? You having kids, you don't have your helmet of salvation. How are you going to build your family up? It's not safe. Somebody might get paralyzed. You need your helmet of salvation. You can't build nothing without it. Second thing we need to realize, what we need, you need your earplugs. Because there's a lot of loud noises on the construction site. You got grinding and drills, and you got all these different machines that are going off. You need some earplugs. Now, there's a lot of noise going out in the world today. You turn on the television. You turn on the television, there's a lot of politicking going on. You got some men, the country is divided. I'm going to tell you one thing. Satan is doing a bang-up job in the world today. He's dividing the United States. It's supposed to be United States, but you got two different parties, so they divided. He's dividing the races. And now he's dividing the church, because you got some in the church who are Republicans and some in the church who are Democrats. And I'll tell you this, I was on Facebook. Gospel preachers, profound men. One is a Democrat, one is a Republican. They arguing for everybody to see. Satan is doing a bang up job. So he's arguing, say, I'm following this leader. He's arguing, he said he's following that leader. Do they not know that those leaders are not following Christ? They're following Satan. Look, Jesus said, if you blind lead the blind, they both shall fall into a ditch. So who are you following? Look, I don't identify as a Republican. I don't identify as a Democrat either. I identify as a Christian. Like, if I'm a Democrat, that means I support gay marriage. If I'm a Republican, that means I support what they... No, I'm a Christian. And while I'm on that subject of division, that has infiltrated the church to the point now that some on this side don't speak to that side, some on that side don't speak to... There's no division in heaven. There's no division. It should be in here, because this is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. So how could we walk around here saying that we don't speak, expect to go to heaven? I'm going to sit on this side of heaven. You sit on this side. There's no division in heaven. You might not make it there like that. Listen, there's division. It's in Tartarus. It's a division in hell. Look, the rich man lift up his eyes in torment. He said, could you send Lazarus over to dip his finger in the water and cool my tongue from this flame? He said, you can't do that. There's a great gulf division, a great gulf fix. You can't cross over here, can't cross over there. So let us not let those divisions of the world infiltrate us. Let us keep our earplugs in. For those just coming in, we're having a safety meeting right now. We already discussed our hard hat. See, we got a bill. Helmet of salvation, Ephesians 6:17. We talked about our earplugs. We got to have our ears in. We got to be disconnected from the affairs of the world. But you also have to have on our safety glasses. Brother Bob, I'm pretty sure you're familiar with that. Safety's first. See, you got to have your safety glasses on, because, you know, there's a metal and pieces of wood and things floating around. You got grinding wheels and sandblasting going on when you're building the shipyard. Is that right, Brother Clint? I know you know about that. So you got to have on some safety glasses to protect your eyes, to guide your eyes. See, you need to have on your spiritual safety glasses as well. Because the trash and the debris and the lust of the world could infiltrate you. You can see it just like Eve did in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 25. She saw that the fruit was good for food. Achan did in Joshua chapter 7. He saw that those Babylonian garments and those shekels of silver and the wares of gold, he saw it, he coveted it, he hid it. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse number 2, David saw the nakedness of Bathsheba. See, you got to have on your safety glasses. Psalms chapter 16, verse number 8, I set the Lord always before my eyes. You got to have your safety glasses on. So we got our hard hat. Jesus said he wants to build. Matthew 7:24. He said, build your house on a rock. Got our hard hat. Helmet of salvation. Ephesians chapter 6:17. Got our earplugs. We got our safety glasses on. Now it's time to build. Now, I hope y'all know how to read blueprints. The architect said, build your house on a rock. Not the sand. But we got to find out what the rock is. That's our starting foundation. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, Paul speaking, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundations can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. So Jesus is that foundation. Jesus is that rock. Okay. Now let me ask you a question. What foundation are you building your family on? You start a family. What foundation? Is it the rock or the sand? I know one guy, he, you know, was a member of the church years ago, back home in Memphis. He built his family on sports. His son, he loved sports, boy. His son was pretty good. I mean, he one of the best in the town. He ran track and he played football. So his son got a scholarship to Duke University. He went there. He wasn't able to make the team. It wasn't good enough. So this Christian man sent his Christian baby off to Duke, and his Christian baby came back a Duke Blue Devil. Got indoctrinated with all of the doctrines of evolution, and got indoctrinated with all the doctrines that they had so that you have to pass these classes to get a credit. Came back a Duke Blue Devil. What are you building your foundation on in your house? Is it a rock or is it a sand? Are you building your house around making money? Some fathers, they focus so much on their jobs and their careers that they forget about the kids. They don't take time to pour into their kids. It's more about their job. That's the wheels of their life. That's what drives them, their jobs. That's sand. Are you building your house on a rock or the sand? Look, Psalms 37, verse number 16, a little money that a righteous man have is better than the riches of many. Of many wicked. Well, let me ask you this. Did you build your foundation, your spiritual house, on the wrong church doctrine? Some people, their grandma grew up in that church. Some people, their uncles, and my daddy, he was here since we've been here since, I'm not leaving. Is that what happened? Did you build your foundation on the wrong doctrine? Turn with me to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. Like some, they built their house on the wrong foundation. Acts chapter 19, and it reads, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received Paul? Paul said, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And Paul said unto them, Okay, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. So these men, they were followers of John. So they was, we could say, they weren't Christians, they were Baptists. We'll just say that. All right, let's keep reading. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him that should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. So when he heard the truth, these men heard the truth, they got rebaptized to become Christians. They had to leave the Baptist doctrine, or whatever it was they was at first, alone. See, their minds weren't set on their traditions of men, and their minds weren't set on whatever it was that John was a very profound man, but their minds weren't set on him. Once they heard the truth, they took their foundation up and built it on a rock. Amen. See, some people, their minds are so set in their traditions that it's hard to get them to come out of it. Brother Bob, I know you have you ever poured some concrete? Like building something, like some stairs, you get the grout, you pour it in, you mix it with the water, and you pour it in a spot, say for instance, you're building up some stairs. It started to harden a little bit. You can even put your name in it. But once that thing's set, that's it. Once it's set, it's hard as it's concrete, ain't nothing you can do about it. It's set. Some people's minds are set in their doctrines. And ain't nothing we can do about it. So what we do when we build a foundation in the construction world, we look at it, we evaluate the situation, then we go and get a tool. Go grab the jackhammer. It's going to come up. It might take a little while, but it's going to come up. See, look, Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse number 29. God's word is like a jackhammer that breaks from rocks in pieces. It'll come up. It might take a few Bible classes. It might take a few Bible studies, but it'll come up eventually. God's word is like a jackhammer, he said. Jeremiah 23 Verse number 29. No other foundation can a man lay but that of Christ Jesus. So, we're planted in Christ Jesus. That's the foundation, just like the man in Acts chapter 19. Had to get rebaptized, be on the rock, baptized into Christ Jesus. So we got the foundation down. Now we must build up on that foundation. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him. Established in the faith in which you have been taught, abounding therein, that faith, with thanksgiving. See, when you're building up, that's where the blood and the sweat and the tears come in at. See, when you build up, that's where all the work come in at. Noah, he sweated for 120 years to build up the ark. It's a lot of work in building up. Moses was told, see that you build the tabernacle according to the pattern that you saw in the mount, so Exodus chapter 25 and verse number 40. See, you have to build your life around the drawings. See, in the construction world. They give you a set of drawings. You can't deviate from the drawings. Now, if I go in, I'm building this bathroom. So, on the drawings, the tub go here, and the sink go here, and say, for instance, the toilet go here. If I decide to put the toilet here, and I decide to put the sink there, I deviate from the plans, I don't have room to put the tub. See, when you deviate, the whole house ends up in ruins. Listen, if you deviate from God's plan, the whole house is in ruin. You can't live the way you want to live. You can't worship the way you want to worship. See, the architect, the master builder has a plan in mind and a purpose. You can't build it your way. Revelation chapter 22, verse number 19. You can't add nor take away from the blueprint, from the word of Lord, of God. 1 Peter 2 and verse number 5, ye also are lively stones. On that foundation, we build up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, offer up spiritual sacrifice unto the Lord. You can't deviate from God's word. This is the blueprint. This is what he wants. All right, so we got the foundation. We built up on that foundation. There's one more thing we got to do. I remember I went over a coworker of mine's house, and he had bought this house, had it for 6 months. And I'm walking around, I'm like, oh man, you got a nice crawl space, you know, good and sturdy, you know, two-story house, nice and, you know, cozy. So I'm walking around, I'm looking, I'm like, where's your furniture at? You know, I look in the bedroom, he's sleeping on the floor mat. I'm like, bro, you sleeping on the floor? Listen, in your spiritual house, all 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. Do you have any furniture in your house? Your house is supposed to be thoroughly furnished. Do you have any furniture in your house? Ain't nothing worse than an abandoned house with no furniture. A house, nice house, no furniture. It's abandoned. You can have a house, been on a block for 20 years, lock the doors, nothing in there. That's not going to stop the rats, the roaches, the spiders, the spider webs. That's not going to stop them from coming in there. Now, if you've been in the church for 20 years and your house is not furnished, the sins, the guilt, the shame, the deceitfulness of riches, all that stuff coming there naturally. You can't stop it. You have to have your house thoroughly furnished. Is your house thoroughly furnished? See, when you're being idle, those things come in naturally. You wonder why you have self-doubt. You wonder why you have the guilt of the past and the different things. You wonder because your house is not furnished. You have no furniture in there. Yes, it's built on a rock. But really, all you're doing is sleeping on the foundation. You're sleeping on the floor just like the guy house I went over. Listen. Do you have any furniture? If not, let's decorate your house. Decorate your house with love, joy, peace, and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance, decorate your house. Let's decorate it. Add to your faith virtue. Virtue knowledge and the knowledge temperance and temperance patience and patience godliness and godliness brotherly love. Decorate your house. 2 Peter 1:5. You have a solid foundation. You built on a solid foundation. You got it built up. But do you have any furniture right now? You have to have furniture. All right, so we got the foundation. Built in Christ. We built it up. We got furniture in there now. Now here comes the storm. This when the storm comes. You think you got it all good, you ready to go, then the storm comes. Now we witnessed the storms in Alabama. You know, we saw the ruins of the house and the homes that was in Alabama. I actually saw children that was just standing in a picture. They didn't have nowhere to go. The house was gone. Everything was ruins. They were just standing there like no home. Is your house built on the rock or the sand? Because the storm's coming. They hit us all. Is it built on a rock? I love Luke's account. When you go to Luke's account, he said, when you build your house on a foundation, dig deep. Do you have your house built on a rock? Because the storm's coming. They hit us all. But the fact that matters is it built on a rock or the sand? There are many that are hit with the whirlwind of sin. There are many that are hit with the wind, that are carried about with the winds of doctrine. There are many storms, like the scripture said when we read in our text, the rain come upon. There are many that have the floods of the past on their mind. There are many that are deal with the sins and the deceitfulness of riches that choke you to death. Many that are confronted with health concerns. Are you built on a rock? Because if you in a health concern, you're built on a rock, you're clinging to that anchor. I'm not talking about the anchor that you throw down like a boat. I'm talking about the anchor that Christ brought. He sent down an anchor, Jesus Christ, into the world. You hold on to that anchor, he'll reel you up and you can meet him face to face. If you're built on a rock. Trials will come. I remember David. As a matter of fact, turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel 22. Now, David was a good boy. He met the challenge of Goliath when they came and everybody was scared. He the only one that stood up and said, I'll fight against him. Young boy. He ended up defeating Goliath. He defeated Goliath. Saul took him in, put him into his house. And then he put him in his army. David started defeating men. People threw him up in the air. They said, David destroys 10,000 men. Saul destroyed thousands. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse number 9. The scripture says, Saul eyed David that day forth. He eyed him. The eyes of jealousy. He eyed him. So, one day, David was in the house. He was in a corner. Saul creeped up on him. Had a spear. He was ready to throw it at him. David had to duck out the way. So, David was like, what is going on? He did it again. Did it twice. So, David hit head for the hills. He went through the wilderness. He ran into this cave. Let's pick up with 2 Samuel verse, chapter 22, verse number 1. Now, and David spoke unto the Lord the words of this song in the day, the same day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hands of his enemy and out of the hand of Saul. The same day he wrote this. Now, think about it. He ran into this dark cave. Probably dark, cold, got bats in it. He ran into this cave, and this is what he wrote. And he said, the Lord is my rock. See, he wanted to focus on the cave, his outside circumstances. He saw the rock, the salvation that was there. The Lord is my rock. This cave is from the Lord. See, no matter where you at in your life today, if you are in Christ on a rock, you are in a saved and a blessed condition. I don't care how you are, where you at, where you came from, what happened to you. You are in a blessed condition when you're on the rock. David said, I'm in this dark cave. I came from a palace. I sat with the king, and my best friend was his son. Now I'm in the cave, and he said, the Lord is my rock, and my fortress, and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him I will trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my savior. Thou savest me from violence. He didn't focus on his outside circumstances. He knew he was in a lot of trouble. He knew that the enemy was after him and confound him at any time and kill him. But he said, the Lord is my rock. He knew the Lord was for him. We must have the same mind like David had. And you know what? I believe that David served Christ. A lot of people can say, looking funny, because well, Christ wasn't born until Matthew 1:20. No, I believe David served Christ. And I got evidence. We know in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Look, all things was made by Christ, and without Christ was not anything made that was made. We know that. Now, when Israel, now this Old Testament, when they went through the wilderness, they got thirsty. 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 4. They drunk from the spiritual rock, and the scripture said that rock was Christ. Moses died, Joshua took over. Joshua went through Jordan. When they got to the other side, there was an angel with a sword. Joshua said, are you on our side, or you with us or against us? He said, I'm with you. Joshua dropped down and he worshiped. Now let's go all the way to Revelation chapter 1. When John got the message, the revealed message from the angel that was sharing with him all these things, he drops down and worship. The angel said, get up. There's only one to be worshiped, and that's God. So if the angel said there's only one to be worshiped in Revelation, that's God, who is the person that's Joshua worshiping in Joshua? That's Christ. I believe it's Christ. As a matter of fact, I go one more step further. In Psalms chapter 110, why did David say, the Lord God said to my Lord, sit down on my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Who is the Lord he talking about? Who is the only one sitting on the right hand of God? Look, David served Christ. He knew he was served. He knew who his rock was. Are you built on Christ? Do you know who your rock is? Jesus asked Peter, who do they say the Son of Man am? He said, some said lies, and some said John the Baptist, and Jeremiah, and so on. Who do you say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, thou art Peter, Petros. See, the Catholics think the church was built on Petros. Peter, thou art Petros. And upon this rock, Petra, two different words, I will build my church. As a matter of fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 4, when Israel was thirsty, they drank from that rock. They drank from the spiritual rock, Petra, which is Christ, the same Greek word. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 24, Christ said, build your house on a rock. That's the same word, Petra. Is your house built on the rock? Christ Jesus. Is it built on the Petra? So Christ said, I will build my church. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we know the story, the gospel. He died, he rose again, he built the church. The book of Acts, he built it up. Romans through Revelations, that's where he put the furniture in there. Is your house built the same way? Are you built on the foundation in Christ? Has your house been built up desiring the sincere milk of the word so that you may grow up thereby? Are you thoroughly furnished in your house? Plenty of furniture. Or is it vacant? Is your house built on the Petra? Listen. If you are not a Christian, then you're built on the sand. And the storms of life, yeah, they're there. They're hitting you. I know they are. Because they hit us all. But if you don't have any hope during your storm, it's like, it reminds me of the children that were standing there. House in ruin. No hope. They don't know where they're gonna sleep. Last night they had the beds, they had the toothbrushes and everything. Now they don't have anything. When you're not in Christ, you're in the same condition, spiritually. Come to Christ tonight. You have to hear the gospel. Look, Mark 4:23. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Luke 8:18. Take heed therefore how you hear. Because some people get cut and some people it pricks them. Take heed how you hear. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God the same way that Peter did. Become a Christian today. You can build your house on a rock. Your kids, your babies can come up on a rock and not the sand. Do that this evening, this afternoon. Repent for your sins. Come out and come up here. Repent, change. It don't mean to say I'm sorry. People think, oh, I'm sorry, I repented. No, 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 it means to change. Somebody can say, I did something to a sister, I'm repenting. That means you're saying you're sorry. No, 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 you hug, you love, you lift them up. You say, I'm never going to do it again. The relationship changes. Your relationship with God changes when you repent. You leave out of here a different man. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be baptized for remission of your sins. Come now while together we stand and sing.